it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day to gather by the radio, open His eternal Word, and study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us today in the study of the Word of God. We're turning our Bible again to the book of James, chapter number 1, and we're continuing the study on the subject dealing with how to deal with situations that arise in the life of a believer. On the broadcast last week, we looked at the thought of dealing with temptation. And in that study, we looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, and we saw Him as the example of the believer in dealing with temptations. And I pointed out to you the time of His temptation, and we saw that it was immediately after that mountaintop experience. And then I pointed out the testing of His temptation, and we saw that it comes through the same three avenues that Eve was tempted with, and that every believer is tempted with, even in our day. The three avenues being the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And we saw His triumph over the temptation, and we saw that He used the Word of God. Every time that Satan tempted Him, He answered him by saying, "It is written." And then we looked at the exhortation to the Christian in his temptation, and I pointed out three things in that part of our study. We looked at the surety of our temptation, and we learned that every man is tempted. If you're a living, breathing, normal human being, you will experience temptation. We saw the source of our temptation, and we learned there's an inward source. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Then we saw there was an outward source. The Bible said every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So we saw the surety of our temptation, the source of our temptation, and then we looked at the success over our temptation. How do you succeed when temptations come your way? How do you deal with them? And I pointed out to you, first of all, that we must define the source. The temptation comes of one of three sources: the devil, the flesh, and the world. And then we must defeat that source. Stop dealing with the fruit of your problem and deal with the root of your problem. And I pointed out these truths from the Word of God. You defeat the temptation of the devil through the Scriptures. You defeat the temptation of the flesh by starving the flesh. Make no provision for it. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Have no confidence in your flesh. And then you defeat the temptation of the world through separation. Simply stay away from the area of your temptation. If you're an ex-drunk, stay away from the drinking places. If you are an adulterer, fornicator, then stay out of places that present the temptation for such sin. And then I close the study by saying that we're to declare the source of our power. Our strength is not in our flesh. It's not in our own personality, not even in our will. But our strength is in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Ephesians 6:10. And then again in 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 4, God said, "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." So we look at the Christian dealing with the temptation. And remember, a temptation is a solicitation to commit sin. It never comes from God. It always comes from the devil. And his purpose and intent is that he might destroy us. Now then, we're moving to the second segment of our study on the subject dealing with. We've looked at dealing with temptation. Now then, we're going to look at dealing with the trying of our faith as believers. We always ask the question, why do God's people suffer? Why does it seem like those who are the best people suffer the most? I'm convinced that it's not those who are the best that suffer the most, but it's those who suffer the most that God uses the sufferings to make them the better Christian. But why do God's people suffer trials? And I want to deal with this as the Holy Spirit directs us during the days of this week. Now, I mention again, the word trial and the word temptation are sometimes used interchangeably in the Scripture, but the context always reveals the difference, and you can easily identify which word it's speaking of by looking at the context. Remember these three things. A temptation is a solicitation or an enticement to commit sin. It comes from the devil. But a trial is a testing of our faith, and it comes from the Lord. Second, remember, temptations are the devil's attempt to destroy us, while trials are the Lord's attempt to develop us. Thirdly, Satan uses temptation to bring out the bad in us, while God uses trials to bring out the good and the grace of God that is in us. As we go into the study on dealing with trials, we're going to look at some of the trials that believers suffer. And then by the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to determine why God allows these things to come into our life. May we be reminded that God does not bring trials into our life just to be doing something. He always has a purpose in his mind. Now, you're saved, and things happen that you do not understand. What are we to do? Let me say to you the first thing that any child of God should do when something happens that they do not understand is to examine his life or her life and make sure that we are not suffering chastisement because of some transgression that is in our life. Make sure we're not suffering because of sin or sins that we have committed and we allow to remain unconfessed and unjudged in our lives. And listen, friend, be sure that you remember the guideline for making this determination is not your feelings. It's not your own ideas or philosophies, not what you think. This is not the guideline by which we judge our lives. I don't mean to sound harsh, but the Bible said the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And so what do we use? We come to the Word of God. We allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts in the light of the Holy Scriptures. And if the Holy Spirit points out any condemnation in our heart over something that we have done or something that we're doing, then we must repent of that, forsake it, turn from it. We'll find forgiveness then, and God will solve the problem that we're encountering in that transgression. But sometimes even after you have examined yourself and you truly let the Holy Spirit examine your own life in the light of the Scriptures, then when you finish the examination, then you can honestly say, the Holy Spirit has not dealt with one thing in my life that is wrong. He has not pointed out one area as being the root of this suffering that I'm going through with. So I do not believe it's chastisement. Then where do you go from there? Well, I want to deal with this as the Holy Spirit unfolds it for us in the study of the Word of God. And by the way, don't be afraid to ask God, why is this happening to you? Now, I know all of our life we've always heard, you're not supposed to question God, and you're not supposed to ask why. Well, I remind you, hanging on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ said, my God, why? And if the Lord Jesus Christ could ask the question why, then I see nothing wrong with you and I asking God why these things are happening in our life. As a matter of fact, if we do not know the purpose of our suffering, then we will not learn the lessons that God wants us to learn and glean the good that God wants us to glean through Him bringing these things into our lives. You remember the Bible said in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, verse number 5, the Bible said, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Verse number 6, he said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Jesus hanging on the cross asked why. There is nothing wrong with you asking the Lord why He is permitting this to happen in your life. Now, you do not ask God why in a judgmental manner. You do not ask God why in a reproving manner to God, but you ask God why in an inquisitive manner to find out for your own benefit why God allows these things to happen in your life. When God brings a trial into most people's life, they just take it as something that happened. They blame it on bad luck. They blame it on the devil. They blame it on someone else. And they do not learn the lesson that God intended for them to learn through that trial. Therefore, they do not grow as they should in the grace of God, and it will not be long until they will be suffering that same trial again. So, friend, it is very important that we learn the purpose for God allowing these to come in our life, and then we let God teach us the lesson. We let God work the work of grace that He wants to work in our lives. We let God accomplish His purpose for bringing these things or allowing them to happen in our lives. So, as Christians, we not only suffer temptation, but we suffer the testing of our faith. And I've spent the entire broadcast today just reviewing and introducing us to this. The Lord willing, on the broadcast tomorrow, we'll come to the book of James, chapter number 1, and we'll begin our study, and I'll deal with many areas of sufferings that Christians go through, and we'll point out in the scriptures why God allows these things to happen in our life. Be sure to join us on the next broadcast. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. This is Brother Blue speaking. Let me encourage you that you pray for the Harvest Time broadcast. You know the situation that our economy is in. And this radio ministry is sustained by the offerings of the people. We're broadcasting over 80 times a day. Several of the stations carry the broadcast free, but our radio bill still runs thousands of dollars every month. And we depend upon you, the listener. Several of the churches have had to cut back on their support, and some of the individuals are not able to support as they used to. But if everybody will do something, then we can keep the broadcast going for the glory of Christ. Let me encourage you, pray for the broadcast, and then write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Address your letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promise Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure and include the call letters of the station that you listen to, and then join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.